Joining us now in the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest lines, they are truly steps beyond convenient. I've actually never, ever met this person or spoken to him besides Twitter. It's Jeremy Pache, man. Jeremy, what is going on, my friend?
What's up, man? I'm very excited to do this. That was a great introduction.
Listen, I do want to say this. I heard you the other day on Alex Dono's show, and you actually speak very well, and you make compelling arguments for the UCF case. I'm gonna give you the floor, okay? I know that you talked about why this year is different than last year, and how even if you win this year, it's not necessarily a quote unquote national championship. But just give me your case for UCF in general. Go.
Perfect. Here, tell everyone that's gonna hate my argument why I'm right. Go. So UCF is. Well, first of all, you know, you win 25 games in a row and you should have a shot. So I think the whole conversation.
I do not disagree with that, by the way. I do not disagree with that.
Right. And so the whole conversation has just been whether or not UCF deserves a shot to be, at this point, not even in the playoff, just more in the conversation for the playoff, right? They didn't even get to. They're behind Michigan, who had two losses, who wasn't in the conversation. So I think what really upset a lot of UCF fans at the end of the day was the fact that not only was UCF not even really, you know, considered to be the number four, but then they weren't even in the conversation afterward with Ohio State and with Georgia. But UCF has won 25 games in a row. They're averaging 44 points per game. That's one of the top 10 offenses in the country. You know, where people can criticize their defense, they should. At the same time, you know, some of these teams that on national television they've gotten, you know, kind of torched by. Temple was a Thursday night game. Well, Temple put up 40 points or 500 yards in each of their last four games. They got hot at the end of the year. UCF happened to be one of them. Memphis was a top five rushing team in the country. So they ran it right down UCF's throat. They ran it down everybody's throat. Their running back, Darrell Henderson, was, I believe, a first-team All-American for Sports Illustrated. You know, so you have these teams that they played, and I think the thing that is complicated with UCF is I think people tend to downplay the competition of the American Athletic Conference and group it in with Conference USA and some of the not that Conference USA isn't competitive, right? It's still competitive football, but you know the whole argument has been Power Six. And while I can understand that if it was a quote unquote Power Six, that the American Athletic Conference would probably be the sixth, although the ACC was not exactly loaded this year in particular. These are good teams that UCF has faced throughout the year. Some stinkers, but everybody has some bad teams on their schedule. And so to win 25 in a row, to beat all three Power 5 teams that you've played over the span of that time, you blew out Maryland last year by four touchdowns. You blew out Pitt this year 45-14. That's a team that won their side of a Power 5 conference. You beat Auburn pretty handily in your bowl game. And you're not even getting a sniff of it. It's frustrating for UCF that's been so dominant. That's number, you know, the third team in the nation in terms of average margin of victory. It's not like they're just squeaking by, you know, to not even have a shot, I guess, is the part that's complicated.
All right, so we've heard the narrative.
Here we go.
And I talk to my UCF friends all the time, right? And I guess the argument is always, is UCF one of the top four teams in the country, right?
Right.
So we just say, hey, let's take UCF and let's take the top four teams in the country and let's put them in UCF's schedule. Would they struggle with the Memphis? Would they struggle with the Temple?
I mean, yes.
You think Alabama and Oklahoma would struggle with Temple?
Oklahoma beat Army by 5 points.
Okay, Army's a triple
Notre
option
Dame
team.
Notre Dame beat Pitt by five.
We beat Pitt, and we suck this year.
Yeah, I understand that. But beating every team that you play on your schedule, like, I think part of the other side of the conversation that I think gets lost here is I think it should be less about how would those teams do against UCF's schedule and how would UCF, when you're objectively breaking down the game, do against those teams' schedules, right? Because this is less about who UCF plays. UCF is dominant. They're beating teams, like I said, they're beating teams by over three touchdowns per game. Yeah, they played a couple of close games late in the season, but they are crushing teams. And so, yeah, I can understand where you would say all four of those teams would go undefeated with UCF's schedule as well. to go undefeated for two straight seasons is something that's pretty magical and impressive, because just look at Ohio State. They lost to Purdue. They're 10 times better than Purdue. UCF would blow out Purdue. But anybody can have a bad day except for UCF. They don't have bad days. They win all of their games. You know what I'm saying? And so you put UCF up against, say, Alabama's schedule, right? I think UCF, objectively watching UCF, the way that they play offense, even though they give up a bunch of points, the way that they score, maybe UCF would have had one or two losses with Alabama's schedule this year, giving you LSU and Georgia. But if they only had one or two losses, they would have been more in the conversation for the playoff than they were allowed to be undefeated with their own schedule. And that just seems short-sighted. It feels like people saying, well, they don't play anyone, so we're not even going to give them a chance, where if you actually objectively watch the game and say, you know what, I'm watching this team, they're one of the best teams. If you listen to all of the broadcasts, as people like Brock Heward or Dan Orlovsky were seeing UCF for the first time in person, every single time they were coming away and going, wait a second, I think this team's a lot better than I thought they were coming in.
Yeah, I think the thing that hampers that whole argument, though, is, and look, Jeremy, you're coming on here and you're doing a good job, all right? I'm gonna straight up say it, because I'm annoyed with your entire fan base. Straight up. I'm annoyed with you guys.
But you're
doing a good job of making this a conversation where I can be like, okay, all right. Now, mm-hmm. The thing where I struggle with is like, okay, yes, let's plug in UCF to an Alabama schedule and see how they do. But, you know, Alabama's schedule, they have a tough competition weekend. And look, I know that they have the Citadel and they have, mm-hmm. You know, they have one or two cupcakes. I get that. But
right.
you have week in and week out teams that are loaded with players from the South, Texas mm-hmm. and Florida, and that's why the SEC, in my opinion, is the best conference. I have no ties to the SEC whatsoever.
Right.
But they have, you know, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Louisiana.
Right.
Those are tough teams to play every single week. And in UCF's schedule, yes, you do have a Pitt. You do have a Memphis on there, but you also uh-huh. have a Navy. You have an SMU.
Can I counter that?
Yeah, no, of course. Go ahead.
So with that being said, you're not wrong. The SEC is the best conference, and the SEC, I think, is head and shoulders the best conference over the next best conference.
Mm-hmm.
So similar to where Alabama is the best team, and then it's everybody else this year, even in the top four. You could argue maybe Clemson's in a league after that, and then Notre Dame and Oklahoma through UCF maybe were all kind of in that same category, right, the 3-8. Alabama's head and shoulders above everybody, so is the SEC. So the conversation that I would come back at you with is, all right, let's take Alabama off the table because they're the anomaly. What about Clemson? Clemson played a bunch of really bad teams this year, like bad teams. And the ACC, as you know, if the Canes – as bad as they were this year, what had seven wins, like with how much of a train wreck that team was throughout the season. And I know I watched too many of the games, unfortunately, because, you know, that's part of my job. But they were kind of a train wreck, and they still won seven games playing ACC teams. The ACC was, this year in particular, very, very weak, because Virginia Tech was not good and Florida State was not good. And so if UCF played the ACC schedule, if UCF played Clemson's schedule, they're going undefeated. Like, there's a certain threshold of team also that I think so it's like the bad teams in the ACC, the North Carolinas this year in particular, North Carolina, a couple of the teams that are sort of the bottom dwellers in these other conferences. In the Big Ten, it's Rutgers. There's a threshold there where, yeah, maybe that team is better than UConn, but does it really matter? Because they're so bad to begin with. Like, you should beat that team no matter what. Basically, from the cutoff of about the 65th best team and down, you should beat that team if you're a certain level of good. So sometimes teams slip up and lose those games, a la Ohio State to Purdue. You know, teams lose. It happens. And with an SEC schedule, sure, UCF probably wouldn't go undefeated, but they wouldn't have to be a part of the conversation. And that's the thing that's frustrating. This team doesn't even get to be a part of the conversation this year, if not for the obnoxiousness of last year of saying, you know what, we're national champs. They're not even in the conversation. And this year they were almost more disrespected. Last year they jumped up from the first college football rankings. They were 18. They jumped all the way up to 12. It was six spots they jumped. This year they started at 12. They only jumped up to 8. They jumped four spots with all of those teams losing throughout the season. They jumped four spots because nobody cared about them. And the only reason they even got any respect is because of the claimed national championship.
Yeah, let's talk about that national championship. I'm doing the bunny ears in studio. So this Coley Matrix, if I'm pronouncing it correct,
yep,
is the one that said that UCF is a national champ, correct?
Uh-huh, correct.
So, like I tell everybody, where the credibility gets thrown out the window mm-hmm. is in 2012, the same Coley Matrix
yep.
named Notre Dame the national champ.
Right.
After
they were obliterated by Alabama.
Yep. And now correct. You want me to say that UCF is a national champ because what?
So it's kind of funny, actually. So UCF actually claimed their national championship before the math came out.
We all saw
right?
it. Trust me.
Before the Coley Matrix. Well, right. And what's funny about the whole thing is that I think it kind of started as a joke. I think Danny White, after the game, after they beat Auburn, he looked at a camera and he said, hey, national champs. Kind of kidding, you know? But last year, and I've talked about this a little bit, it was the perfect storm, right? UCF was the only undefeated team in the country. And then the team that they beat in Auburn beat the two teams in Georgia and Alabama that played for the national championship. So they had not only the record of saying we're the only undefeated team in the country, but then on top of that, they were able to say, and we pretty much dominated until the final second against the team that beat the two teams that played for your so-called national championship and your invitational, right? So they were in a position where it just made sense. So they claimed it before the Coley Matrix stuff. Now, the Coley Matrix, like, cool, that's a little bonus, the cherry on top, right, to say, like, hey, there's also a nationally recognized poll from the NCAA that in their record book they give us a share. Like, that's just a bonus. I think the claim, it's kind of, the Coley Matrix part of it is almost irrelevant to me. Like, the claim
you're
was
right.
the claim
it's,
for
it
a
is
reason.
Irrelevant. You can't
yeah,
name somebody that gets blown out by 30 points in the national championship and give them the championship.
Yeah, that's fine. Unfortunately, UCF didn't get a chance to play for it, so we can't ever know whether or not they would have competed last year. I don't think last year's team is necessarily better than this year's team, but I think with what these two teams are, or what the differences are in terms of like the drop off between Alabama and Clemson and UCF last year was much smaller. Alabama and Georgia and whoever else was in the playoff last year was much, much smaller than the differences this year. I think this year Alabama's in a league of their own. So you throw UCF up there, yeah, they would have gotten crushed. But I think all they want is a shot, man. There are a bunch of kids that are out there winning every single game they play and saying, how are you going to eliminate us before the season even starts?
Well, they should take that two for one. That,
that was my next question.
Then.
That was my next question.
That's a great question.
I didn't even ask a question, but like, what about it? Like, why can't you guys do that?
The two for one with Florida. Yeah, so... Yeah. The two-for-one is complicated, right? Because basically UCF, like all of the schools that are not in the Power Five, makes a lot less money than the schools that are in the Power Five, right? So the actual like revenue of home games does matter. It actually is kind of a bit of a dent in their salary in terms of their budget and how much they can then put into their athletic program. So just giving away one of those to go play at the University of Florida when – there have been Power Five schools for years scheduling UCF one for one. A perfect example is Stanford, who's been much more competitive over the last decade than UF, by the way. UF all of a sudden thinks they're high and mighty because they have one good season and finish runner up in the SEC East. I mean, give me a break. UCF's been remarkably inconsistent since Tebow. No, but really, I mean, since Tebow, they have been inconsistent. They're up and down. So let's say we schedule a two for one, and then all of a sudden we got to go travel to play a Gator team that finishes 4-8 again. Because that's what they do, right? What's the point of scheduling something so far in advance when there's teams like Stanford
Jeremy,
and
damn,
Pitt?
Holy
no, for real.
Crap, bro.
Stanford, Pitt, Louisville, Georgia Tech, all of these teams have scheduled UCF one for one.
Wait, don't forget Miami. We came up there too.
Yeah, man, it's happened. Texas did it. Georgia did it. All of these teams over the span of years, and even recently South Carolina was one of them. And UCF... Your South Carolina finished seventh with Jadeveon Clowney and Connor Shaw was their quarterback. They came up to UCF the year UCF won the Fiesta Bowl. They beat UCF by three. if that had just been some FCS game and UCF was undefeated, but that was a home game. It was a home and home, and they got beat by South Carolina both times. But these teams have been willing to do it, so I don't know why UF all of a sudden. I think it's because UF knows UCF won't do it, and so they get to be like, look, we gave them an offer, but they don't want to play UCF. Why would they want to? It wouldn't make any sense for UF to play UCF, and so I understand why they want a two-for-one. There's no advantage for UF to do a one-for-one or what Danny White has reportedly offered, which is a one-for-one and a neutral site game. Because what he's throwing out there is, we'll also do a neutral site game for you where we can split revenue, but it's really difficult for us to lose a home game because our home games are what bring in revenue for this program, because we're not like you getting the TV money that the SEC gets.
Well, listen, Florida always ducks certain opponents.
Yeah, we know that.
We have found some common ground here.
All right. After all that.
Yo, Jeremy, you've done a really good job of presenting. I got to give it to you, man. I'm really annoyed with your fan base. But and look, you're one of the people on Twitter. You're waving the flag, UCF flag, man. And,
yeah,
and so it was nice to get you on here to talk about it, because you when you sit down and you break it down and you actually digest what's going on, you make a compelling case, man. I will say that.
I really genuinely appreciate the chance to have a conversation. It's just sort of like in politics, two people on a different side of the aisle getting a chance to sit down and have a conversation.
Jeremy,
rarely happens nowadays.
Jeremy, I know you do some work on the side. Tell people where they can find you.
I do. You can find me on Twitter at Jeremy Taché. I work for 7 Sports Extra as a producer, so producing for Steve Shapiro and company. And I am also on the 5 Reasons Sports Network, where I am a co-host and producer of Swings and Misses, our Miami Marlins podcast, and the War on I-4 podcast with Tito Banach, Josh Appel, and Brian Goins, where we talk UCF and USF football.
So wait, you're a Marlins fan too?
Mm. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't like you, man. I don't like you. Hey, Jeremy, thanks so much for taking the time, man. And this was great, man. Thanks so much, man.
No, this was a blast. Thank you guys so much for having me on, and looking forward to the LSU game.
All right, Jeremy. Well, maybe we'll get you on after. We'll see if you guys win. A
depleted LSU.
Would love it.
Depleted LSU
blast.
Team.
No Greedy Williams.
Yeah, they still have Devin White, man.
Oh,
I'll take it.
No, shut up. All right, Jeremy. Thanks, man.
All right, guys.